Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Hello, good evening. Here we are on Deserted Island Disc Live, 7 p.m. in the Sheffield Live studios. And this week I've got a guest, a wonderful guest. It's a man I've known for about 35 years without actually knowing him. So I've been in his company so many times over the last 35 years, but never really got to know him. And I think tonight is the night to get to know you. So good evening, Chris. How are you doing?
Hello, Ben.
Thanks for agreeing to be on the show.
Lovely.
It's great that you've listened to a few shows, haven't you? You've heard Connor, who's landlord of the Dog and Partridge.
I've heard one or two others, yeah.
So you understand the format. It's your night, your hour tonight, so we spend the next hour talking to Chris, hearing about all his stories, good and bad, funny and sad, and we will and he's picked some music choices, which are fantastic. So he's picked his music that you appear on, don't you, Chris?
Yeah.
Your songs you've written yourself and songs you play on over the years of being in Sheffield and playing music with some great people. So we go through your life in order, Chris, but just to kind of give people a flavour of you, you're primarily a keyboard player, but I've already learnt tonight that you can play other instruments, don't you? But you're a fine musician.
Well, I'm mainly a keyboard player, but I did used to play drums a little bit, and I can play a bit of piano, accordion and stuff. But keyboard's my main thing.
That's it, and that's what I've seen you play. Yeah, hundreds of times I've seen you play, and you play in the Dog and Partridge still.
Yeah, Sunday afternoons, still there.
And that's where I first saw you playing on a Sunday afternoon.
Many years ago.
Dog and Partridge, yeah, many years ago. And you play in a Latin band still?
Yeah, we're still playing, somehow by the skin of our teeth.
So, I mean, that's a crazy mix, isn't it? When I first kind of obviously saw you playing the Irish stuff, or the Irish folky stuff, and then I saw you pop up in a Latin band, I thought, that's some jump, Chris.
It's a bit of a culture shock all round, isn't it?
But that, I suppose, is how important music is to you, really, and you understand all kinds of music, and you have an eclectic mix of songs you like and songs you can play. Is that
fair? Yeah, I mean, I think for me, music is as natural as breathing.
Yeah.
I started playing when I was about 6.
Yeah.
And I was at school, and this particular school I was at, it was basically a breeding centre for pianos, I think. There was just pianos everywhere.
Yeah.
And I heard somebody playing this tune, and I sort of like waited till nobody was watching, and I sort of sat down and I thought, oh yeah, I sort of hit the notes, that sounds like, I don't really remember how, I just played it.
So you could play the tune without any lessons, or?
Oh, I had to have lessons. My dad said I wouldn't be a musician till I was grade 8. Oh,
okay, so you
But then he changed his mind.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, another important thing to say about Chris is that you were born blind, weren't you, Chris?
That's right, yeah, I was, yeah. There's an eye condition called microphthalmia, which is basically where your eyes, when the rest of you is developing in the womb, your eyes get to about halfway and stop. And it's some kind of muted gene or some weird stuff like that. Mutated gene, that's what they call it.
Yeah.
So that was, I had a little bit of what we call residual sight.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I could see a tree once it hit it, sort of thing.
Okay, right.
But I had a little bit of colour, light and dark, but that kind of faded as I got older.
Yeah.
So it was never really relevant in a sense.
Yeah, yeah. So you was, so that, I mean, it's important to say that you were born in London.
Yeah.
In 1966, the youngest of four.
Yeah. That's right.
And quite a wealthy family, you were telling me, really, and you had a house by the Thames.
Yeah, my dad's side of the family came from a very middle-classy family. My mum's side was the other way. She had family from Ireland and everything.
Yeah.
But she lived up, they were quite poor. Her dad, well, my granddad, was gassed in the First World War.
Yeah,
I don't know where he was, actually. I don't know a lot about
it. On the continent, somewhere. Yeah.
He was abroad, Joe. He was abroad somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't really know a lot about all that, because he died. She was either 8 or 14, depending on who you believe.
Okay. It's one of those stories that have got kind of lost a bit in time.
The only thing, one of my aunties actually told me about him, is that he was a fiddle player in a ceilidh band.
There you go.
And my grandma was a piano teacher and singing teacher. Yeah. So my mum, but she was a brilliant swimmer, she's a brilliant ballroom dancer and an excellent singer. She could have been professional.
Oh,
yeah. And then they asked her about, I think she was even a champion.
Yeah.
And they asked her, they said, how did you learn to dance? She says, oh, I just watched everyone else and did it. And I said, that's pretty much how I've done music.
Yeah. Very true, very, very true. So we've got to play your first song, Chris. So, do you want to just introduce it a bit and why you've picked it? I know we're kind of jumping
in the
story of your life a bit, but I think just tell us a bit about this song.
Now, this band, this takes us on to the Dog and Partridge.
Yeah.
Where one of the legends of the Irish music scene was a man called Maurice Malone. Yeah. And a wonderful friend of mine as well. And we kind of met, and he used to sing this. And when I started playing with him and our other friend Kev, who was a top London session guitarist and played all over the world.
Yeah.
But we used to start every gig with this song.
Oh.
And it'd be, when we are gone, okay, ready, and off we went.
Okay, let's play that then.
A little something like this.
I will.
When We Are Gone. That's Maurice Malone, Chris Egerton.
Eggington.
Eggington. He's spelled wrong on here, on the CD.
Is it?
I've got. And Kevin Stevenson, sorry. Sorry, yeah, so it's my guest tonight, Chris Egerton.
Yes.
Thank you. I've got it right for once. Who's on Deserted Island Disc tonight, and we'll talk about his life and his picking songs. And that song was from the Dog and Partridge CD, which was made, some years ago now, wasn't it?
Around 2003.
2003, something like that. And we have to say, it's lovely to hear Morrison, Kevin's voice in there, but they're no longer with us, have they?
No.
Both of them gone. So they were your bandmates for many years, weren't they? And you did tons and tons of gigs. And we'll talk about some of the times with them in a bit, but here's to Morris and Kevin anyway. It's great to hear the voices.
Amen.
Yes. But it's your show tonight, Chris, and we're talking about your life. We've not got very far so far. You were born in London and you were born blind and you're youngest of four. And at the age of four, you were telling me that you were sent away to a school for the blind.
Yeah, it was one of the old Sunshine Houses. You remember, there was a thing called the Sunshine Club.
No, I don't know if it
is. And I don't know if you had it. It was certainly in the South area.
Yeah.
But it was part of the, you know, the Royal Variety.
Yes, got you. Yeah.
I think it was part of all that.
The fundraising they'd done, yeah.
It was called Sunshine House. And there was one in Rickmans,
down south.
South.
Yeah.
There was one in Leamington Spa, I think. There was one in Southport.
Yeah.
But they were really for kids where the parents couldn't really deal with the whole blind thing and all that, or they, you know, like with mine, my mum had three young kids and then I came along.
Yeah.
And so I don't really know, kind of, I suppose it was, in a way, it was hard.
Yeah.
But I'm glad they did it.
Yeah.
because it gave me the strength, you know, it was, okay, it was hard. But then, you know, I wouldn't be where I am today without it.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah. And I suppose you didn't know any different at that young age.
No. You
wouldn't know. You would think this is just normal. And
well, I don't know. I used to get upset when they left, I think. But then you're there, aren't you? You're just wherever you're put.
You'd miss your mum, I suppose, when she wasn't there. You know, you have to leave you.
Yeah.
You saw her at weekends, did you?
You just come home at weekends, yeah. My mum used to come and get me about quarter past three on a Friday.
Yeah.
And then we'd get home and my dad would come home and I'd be like playing upstairs or something. I'd be like, I'm home, and I'd just fly down the stairs and he'd kind of catch me at the bottom. Oh. I always remember that.
Oh. That's lovely. Yeah.
But then, as I say, then I went on to a main school, which was in Wimbledon, a place called Linden Lodge.
Yeah.
Which is still there, I believe. But now, because they've changed it, you don't get so much like specialist blind education.
Yeah.
So it's now a lot of it's multiple disability.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
But when I was there, it was all blind people, where I learned to play blind cricket and football and everything else.
Yeah,
all the normal stuff.
Yeah,
riding around. I'm a better cricket.
Yeah.
And I love cricket. It's one of my favourite sports.
You listen to it and
I do. Test match special and all that.
Oh,
yeah,
me too, yes. Okay.
Oh gosh, that's like stuff of childhood. That is, it's like we used to go at this holiday cottage on the weekend sometimes, and I'll always remember coming back in the car. It's old Sunday League.
Yeah.
On Radio 2.
When you could advertise cigarettes, the Benson and Edges.
Yeah, Benson and Edges. There was the B&H Cup was the one day thing.
Yeah.
You had Embassy in snooker, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And there were Marlboro McLaren in Formula One.
So you'd listen to that on a Sunday afternoon as well.
When it was on Radio 3.
Yeah.
When it was on, so it'd be like Brian Johnson giving a Then he runs into bowl and everything.
That's good.
I've got friends who learn English off Radio 3. You go, morning. Oh, morning.
Yeah. So, because that's, I suppose that, I mean, that's what it says, isn't it? That kind of, if you lose one sense, the other sense becomes more important. So you're hearing and listening to music and speech.
I think
and
you practice, like, you just, it's just practice. Your body, because what your brain actually does, it kind of, the seeing part of your brain, your visual cortex, doesn't stop working.
Right.
So, whereas with sight, you're using sight accounts for 80% of your senses.
Yeah.
So when your sight goes, it takes the information from the other senses.
Right.
And yeah, splits into four rather than five.
Yeah. And still goes through that cortex.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is how you get your spatial awareness and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. That's, well,
that's our neurosurgery lesson over for today.
No, well, that's all, yeah, learning stuff. We're about to play another song. So we're playing about another one from the Dog and Partridge CD.
I get to sing this one.
So this is...
this is me now.
So are we calling it the Strawberry Beds?
It said the song is called The Ferryman,
yes.
But it's just always, oh, Crystal Strawberry Beds, will
yeah, yeah, it says that's what people say.
Because that's the thing that catches out, so whatever you like.
The Strawberry Beds. So we're going to play, the Strawberry Beds, let's call it that.
Let's call it that.
My brow, I love you. kiss away the worry from my brow. I love you well today, I love you more tomorrow. If you ever love me, Molly, love me now. Where the strawberry beds sweep down to the liffey, you kiss away the worry from my brow. I love you well today, I love you more tomorrow. If you ever love me, Molly, love me now. If you ever love me, Molly, love me now. If you ever love me, Molly, love me now.
Strawberry Beds and the Ferrymen. That's Chris singing that, my guest tonight here on Deserted Island Day. So, how are you feeling, Chris?
I'm good. How are you?
Relaxed now, aren't you? You're happy?
Oh, totally, totally happy.
Good, good. We're nearly halfway through the show, though, Chris. We've not got you to Sheffield yet. So, it's an important part of the show is understands people's journey to Sheffield. But we've only just got through you. We've not even done your junior school, really, have we? But we'll skip ahead a bit, really, because you obviously did pretty well at school. You got your A levels, and you were able to apply to universities. Did you apply for a few universities?
I applied in them days were polytechnics.
Polytechnics, yeah. Same thing. Yeah.
I went Thames Poly, Kingston Poly,
yeah,
Sheffield, North London.
That's important. Oh yeah, yeah. My uncle, who's listening, worked at North London Poly.
Oh, right, yes. Yeah. Is that the one at Camden, is it not Camden?
I think it's a bit further north. He'll be texting me now, letting us know.
Because I went to one of them was at Woolwich, that was Thames, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't remember.
Anyway, it was their loss. Sheffield's gain. Did you come up for an open day or anything, or just kind of that
was. Well, no, I came for a visit.
Yeah.
Because I used to stay with my mum, she lived in Harrogate at the time, and I had this mobility teacher, and he brought us down to visit and see the place and all that, and I liked it. It was good.
Good, good.
Because I was on Collegiate Crescent site.
Yeah.
And, of course, they had a piano, so I started playing that, and I ended up gigging at the Collegiate Crescent Club and.
Fantastic. So what year is this? So this is
86.
86, got to Sheffield. And you would, how did you find that? Did you find it easy to make friends and stuff there?
Yeah. Well, I've always been quite a confident person. I'm probably not as confident as I used to be, but I am. But
yeah,
it was a challenge being in a strange place.
Yeah.
Strange people.
Where's that confidence come from, Chris, you think?
I think it comes from my dad.
Yeah?
I think it probably comes from my dad. The humour comes from both sides.
Yeah, so your dad was a confident man who's
Very confident.
Well, that's a nice thing to have, isn't it? I can only just. You can barely imagine, but you go into a strange city and. Do you didn't know anyone at all, did you, like, when you started?
No. First thing I did was went for a drink.
Yeah, well, there you go, yeah.
It's a great leveller. Yeah. Yeah, no, I kind of got down to the bar and just started engaging people in conversation if I could, but.
Is that like a student bar? Or?
Yeah, it was. But it wasn't a union bar, it was a private club.
Right.
And staff and students and whatever were members. So you had to pay subs every year and all that.
Yeah, but you got a discount. It was worth it.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, oh, some serious lock-ins in that place. My goodness me.
So, yeah.
It was my ruin, one of them.
But you didn't last as a student, you were telling me earlier.
No, because I needed a lot of support, obviously, because everything... There was only a certain amount of things in Braille, and some of it was on 8-track tapes, and some of it I needed readers for, and there was an argument between the RNIB and the Polytechnic as to who was paying for it.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't really do anything.
Eh? When you say readers, is that actual
people that read books for you.
Yeah.
And you've got to pay them, of course.
Yeah, someone has to, yeah.
And so it was like, well, they said, and I'm like, hold on, they said, kind of like, I don't know, they said, well, no, this is not ours to pay. Polytechnic said, this isn't ours to pay.
Yeah.
So you'll have to pay. I said, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I says, you know, like I'm a student, I can't be paying everyone else and all that. You know, I've only got so much money. So they said, well, if you can't do the work, you'll have to go, and that was it. So,
oh, that's just terrible. And I mean, that wouldn't happen today, would it? There's so many, so many laws, isn't there, and things that say that shouldn't happen.
But there was a big report done.
Yeah.
And both Sheffield University and Polytechnic came at the very bottom of the league of universities who were any good at access and disability stuff.
Yeah.
Sheffield came bottom.
So when was this?
Around 80s, late 80s.
Yeah. So hopefully they're better now if we're advertising.
They're very
Sheffield.
Good. Oh, yeah. They're very good now, I believe.
Yeah, come to Sheffield.
Come to Sheffield, it's all right.
It's good. Because there's a big RNIB centre in Sheffield, isn't there? The big one just next to Rev de Cuba.
Yeah, Sheffield Royal Society for the Blind.
Oh, sorry, is that? Yeah, sorry, yeah.
But they I don't know if they have any RNIB funding, but it's basically a local charity.
Oh, okay, right, sorry, yeah.
And they are very, very good. I don't really go there.
Yeah.
Because occasionally if I'm up that way, I might pop in for a coffee or whatever.
Yeah. Well, you're quite independent.
But
really.
I certainly wouldn't want to go every day and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But they have the uses.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do have a history with them. I was one of the first people to be barred from there.
Okay.
nearly 40 years ago, not long after I came to Sheffield.
All right.
Because I went on a day trip to Scarborough with him and got this old guy drunk.
Right.
Who was on medication and he kicked off on the bus on the way home.
That was your fault.
And it was my fault, yeah. He didn't tell me he couldn't drink.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. You've just been friendly, weren't you?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, apart from no, they are very, very good. They're useful.
Yeah. Well, you were saying that you were telling me earlier if it's okay to share that your kind of family also kind of, how did they deal with you kind of dropping out of uni? How did that go down?
They didn't like it. But they kind of, I think they expected it in a way.
Oh.
But I know I was the kind of family, I don't know, I get the impression I was sort of the family disappointment.
Yeah. So there was like high expectations from the family?
Oh, well, it was especially from my dad's side, it was education, education, education. Yeah. And in one sense, he's right. But some people just aren't that, you know. Some people aren't, you know. It's like my oldest brother is the same. He had this really good job, and then he lost that, and he just said, no, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
So he went down to Devon and never really looked back. I mean, they had some hard times, as everybody does. But, you know, he just said, no, I'm not playing this game anymore.
Yeah.
And I totally get that.
And you did that, I suppose, at your young age, yeah.
And I just realised it. It's just, that isn't me, you know.
But you had your piano.
But I had music and piano, yeah.
And you were finding your way. Well, I think we'll best do another song, if we can. So we've got your last one from the Dog and Partridge CD, which we'll talk about next. So How Can a Poor Man...
Yeah.
So we'll play that one, another one off the Dog and Partridge CD.
This is our Kev singing now.
This is Kev.
Mm-hmm. when everything was cheap. And prices nearly pulled a man to sleep. When we get our grocery bill, we feel like making our will. Tell me, how can a poor man stand in such times and live? Tell me, how can a poor man stand in such times and live? Well, the doctor, he comes round with his face all bright. He says in a dose of dope and a great big bill. Tell me, how can a poor man stand such times and live? Tell me, how can a poor man stand such times and live? soul. It's what keeps us poor folks always in a hole. Well, I can hardly get my breath, taxed and ruled and screwed to death. Tell me, how can a poor man stand such times and live? Tell me.
How Can a Poor Man, and that's Kev Stevenson mostly, with backing from my guest Chris, who's here on Deserted Island Disc tonight. It's a great song and a great CD. I found that CD, well, I knew about the CD, and I think at the time it was being sold. I don't know why I didn't buy it. I think I was being tight and thought, why am I buying this CD? Where can I just come in here and listen to him?
A lot of people said that.
And so I didn't buy one, and then years later I was going, oh, I wish I had that CD.
A lot of people said that as well.
So, but I found a copy in the grapes in, you know, the chairs, they lift up the chairs. And, they was stored in there. So I did get a copy, and I'm so glad. And it's an amazing CD. So there's like so many great people on it.
Oh, yeah.
And so tell us a bit about what you know about how it came about, that CD.
Well, it was originally, I don't know where how it got suggested. It was sort of talked about. It was recorded at Jump Studios.
Yeah.
Down on Bailey Street. A guy called Paul Thompson.
Yeah.
Tomo. And it was just like, you know, we'd say, who plays? There was, and it's everybody who was playing at that time.
Yeah.
Or had played over the years, and a few extra as well.
Yeah.
Because Tom, who was the landlord at Fagan's, yeah. He was on it a couple of songs.
Yeah.
Some of the Fagan's musicians were on it.
Yeah.
But it was kind of just a collaboration of a celebration of all the musicians, really.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. I mean, it's great, and I think there's about 40 songs in it. It's a double CD.
Oh, yeah, but it's funny. I listen to it sometimes, think, oh, you know, I remember him.
Yeah.
A lot of memories of a lot of old friends.
Yeah, quite a lot of them have sadly passed on.
They're
still a lot around, aren't they? So, and they're still, I mean, for people who don't know, we're blessed in Sheffield, aren't we, with the amount of live music in pubs.
It's unbelievable.
And there's a little nice triangle, we call it, of pubs where pretty much any night of the week you'll find people playing live music. And Chris is, as he said, he's got the Sunday afternoon session now, but you've been doing that. So you must have been doing that Sunday afternoon session for 30-odd years, yeah?
Well, I stopped for a bit. Because then when we moved to the Grapes, I was playing Saturday and Sunday. But then I was playing with the salsa band as well.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that, yeah. So,
San Para Todos.
Oh, let's go back to the beginning of your musical journey in Sheffield.
Yeah.
So basically you're saying you couldn't be at college anymore, couldn't be at the poly, but you stayed in Sheffield. Well, firstly,
on to Park Hill.
You got a flat in Park Hill, yeah. And first of all, Matt, what made you stay in Sheffield? Why didn't you just go back to London? Or
nothing to go back for, I suppose. I'd built a life.
You built your life up here, you made friends.
And made friends, I liked it, the beer was cheaper.
Yeah. Still is?
Still is. But no, it was just, this was kind of the first place I ever actually felt a sense of belonging, I suppose.
Lovely, yeah, yeah.
Because I was away so much as a child.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I never really, you know, you're in one place, you start to settle, then you're gone again.
Yeah.
So you never really call anywhere home because you're going to have to leave it.
Yeah.
So Sheffield's the first place where I didn't have that happening.
And you sounded like you threw yourself into the social life.
You
found the good pubs and good friends. And
started playing music gigging, yeah.
So you started playing in pubs.
I was an organist.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah, that was in some of the worst places in Sheffield, but so it was great fun.
In the rough old. So I didn't know this, Chris. So like some of the rough old pubs.
Oh,
Did they have a permanent organ in the pub?
Some of them did, Some of them. I mean, the organist, the pub organist, was a big tradition.
Yeah.
And it stemmed from the working men's club. You used to get organ and drums.
Yeah.
And you'd get a drummer, and I did a little bit of that, not a lot.
Yeah.
But we had, and it was kind of, there was one place, a pub called The Cannon.
Yeah.
And they had a thing, you could plug a mic into it. And I was playing, and there were these two old guys, and they had a fight, an actual physical fight, as to who was the resident singer.
Okay.
And they're like, because the one guy wanted to be, the other guy wanted to be.
Yeah.
And I said, no, guys, I will decide who is the resident singer, because I'm playing.
Yeah.
And went, all right, is it me? Go on, Mickey, it's me. Pick me. It was like, pick me.
Yeah.
I said, the resident singer is me.
Oh, God. How did that go down?
And they were like, oh, be like that then. Yeah. So all that beating the whatever's out of each other for nothing.
Yeah. And what kind of songs were you doing back then?
Oh, just a lot of requests. And
yeah.
We used to think it was like kind of an organ karaoke a lot of the time. People wanted to sing Pal of My Cradle Days. And
yeah.
Some of the old songs. There was a guy, who was away in his 80s, Oh, and he used to like some of the old army songs and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. Pack up your travels.
Yeah, oh, he liked all that. And there was another lady, oh, Jessie, she was brilliant. And she used to have this right gravelly voice like this, you know. Like, I'll come and sing you a little song, love, now. And she'd sing, have you ever been lonely? And she'd be singing all this kind of... But people would be winding her up. So she'd halfway through the song, she'd just stop and swear at everybody.
And you had to carry on.
And I just used to say, oh, God, here we go. Oh, the things we got caught in the middle of a police raid.
Yeah.
I was just sat there, trying to keep... See, he comes over and says, just keep playing. I said, who's that? Copper. Thank goodness I haven't bought anything off the shoplifters today.
Is that kind of place, wasn't it?
Oh, it was rough. Canon Alex, Hen and Chickens.
Yeah.
Penny Black. Well, Penny Black's still about that, apparently, so.
Lively places. But what we need to get across is, Chris, your brilliance. It's kind of just go in the flow with songs. And I suppose when you played... with Kevin and Morris have just kind of going at flow. So I suppose, first of all, tell us about when you first went in the Dog and Partridge and how you started.
The first night I went in the Dog, I was with my mate Larry, who had the Earl George and the Earl Francis up on Park Hill and Bottom Wyburn. And we went and he says, have you not been in there? I said, no. I said, I've been in the Grapes plenty of times and Fagan's.
Yeah.
But anyway, we went in the Dog and Morris was in there. Mo was doing his session in there. And Larry introduced us and we shook hands and everything. How are you doing? Good, good, good. And he said, can I sing a song for you? I said, yeah. He says, do you know the song called The Leaving of Nancy?
Yeah.
He says, yeah. He says, well, I do. He says, do you know the chords? I said, yeah.
Yeah.
Told him. He says, do you know the words? I says, yeah. He said, off you go, then you'll play it, you sing it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where it all began.
Yeah, that's it, you're up there, yeah. Well, I mean, that was kind of him, wasn't it? That was generous of him. Because did he know you were any good at that point?
He'd heard of me, because I'd played with other people and I... Yeah. It was one of the, I think my reputation preceded me a little bit.
Well, speaking of which, we have quickly run out of time. I think we've got time for two more songs, if we're lucky. So we're going to play one that, Come By The Hills. So is this one you wrote?
No, this is a very old song. This is an old...
Oh, right, okay.
This is one of those that the Scottish claim it,
is this one Irish you want to play? Do you want to play Friday Afternoon, the one you wrote, or Come By The Hills? What do you want?
We'll play Come By The Hills.
Come By The Hills, sorry, go on. So it's an old song, and it's off Chris's CD, which is, what's the CD called?
The Sideman Steps Out.
That's it. You can find it on Spotify. So let's play this one, Come By The Hills.
Come by the hills. Fancy is free, and stand where the peaks meet the sky and the locks meet the sea, where the rivers run clear, the bracken is gold in the sun, and the cares of tomorrow can wait till this day is done. Come by the hills to the land where life is song. Sing while the birds fill the air with their joy all day long. Where the trees sway in time and even the wind sings in cares of tomorrow can wait till this day is done. legend remains. The stories of old fill the heart in me yet come again. Where the past has been lost, the future is still to be won. Tomorrow can wait till this day is done. I'll come by the hills to the land where fancy is free, and stand where the peaks meet the sky and the locks meet the sea. Black in his gold in the sun, and the cares of tomorrow can wait till this day is done, and the cares of tomorrow can wait till this day is done.
Beautiful, beautiful. Come by the hills, Chris Eggington. Fantastic. Oh, it sounds brilliant. That's a CD that you made yourself.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
It was, I had a friend called Steve Gledhill, otherwise known as Stevie G. We just lost him very sadly. He said to me one time, we were at Yellow Arch, he said, I'm a bit of a loose end. He was did a lot of recording and stuff. And he said, and it was actually going to be one or two songs, and then it ended up being a whole album. And I'd just been through a really bad time, and it was kind of the journey I went on afterwards.
Yeah, that's fantastic. No, I'll give it a good listen. I've not this fifth. There's how many songs?
11.
11 songs on it.
I wrote 6 out of 5 of them.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, fantastic. So, and then I suppose it was. I mean, so you managed to get Kevin to play on that. When did you make it then?
That was 2017, 2018.
Oh, so yeah.
Launched it in 2018.
Good stuff. And people can find it, as I say.
It's on all good music sites.
Yeah, and we're for listening.
And I've got God knows how many CDs as well.
Oh, have you still left?
Yeah.
So we're coming towards the end. So we're going to play a final song in a bit, but just before we do, let's have a catch up on kind of there's so much we've talked about, haven't we? So let's talk about your touring. So you managed to tour with the band in Europe, and
We didn't go that far. No.
You went to Turkey. You went to Turkey.
We went to Turkey with Morrison Tavgat.
Half in Europe and half in.
We just went to Turkey, but we used to do a few things all over the country. We did a couple of the caravan parks.
Yeah.
But Turkey was an adventure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was so ill when we got back from there.
Is it food poisoning?
With drink poisoning.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just gigging and partying for 2 weeks. It was mad.
So Morris could drink, wasn't it? Was he the bad influence, or you?
I could give him a run for his money. Don't worry about that.
How did that come about then? You just kind of make it.
They used to go before I sort of got to know them really well.
Yeah.
And then they said, why don't you come with us? And I was like, okay. And took my keyboard over a little, in its keyboard back and reinforced cardboard and bubble wrap and all sorts of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, and it got through.
They got through, thankfully.
Yeah.
So we kind of ended up playing at different restaurants and bars and all that.
How long for? You know,
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. We did one. We landed this one, and we got B&B for staying there for £3.50 a night.
Yeah.
But we played his bar on the seafront every night.
Yeah.
And brilliant!
That's
and
not
we
bad,
got
is it?
Food, free food. They loved us.
Yeah, so you'd why wouldn't they? And then you've got the Latin band as well. So you do gigs with them. You're gigging all around the country with that. So we talked about them earlier.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, wonderful! Kev was in that as well.
Yeah.
And then we had the main singer is Ecuadorian.
Yeah.
Then we did have a Mexican drummer, but he's gone home. And so there's just down to kind of three or four of us now.
Yeah.
So but we're still doing it. We're still rocking now.
So it's great music, still a big part of your life, isn't it? We're going to have to end the show with your final song. But just how's life these days then?
Life is good. I've been not very well for the past few years with various things, but we seem to be coming to the end of what has been kind of a nightmare.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're looking fantastic, and it was great to see you. So you're on St. Patrick's Day and other days, and you're looking the best you've looked for years, so well done. So thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you.
I know it's flown by. There's so much we couldn't talk about, but this is The Parting Glass, which is a fantastic song, but it's Chris Eggington's version, and you can find it on his album, The Sideman Steps.
So out.
Thanks, Chris. Sideman Steps out. Yeah. Thanks, Chris. It's been a lovely evening.
Thank you.
Of all the money that here I have, I'll spend it in good company. And of all the harm that here I done, alas, it was to none. Want of wit to memory now I can recall. So fell to me the parting glass. Good night and joy. Of all the comrades that here I had, they are sorry for my going away, and all the sweethearts all in wish me one more day to stay. But since it falls unto my lot that I should rise, I'll gently rise and I'll softly call. Good night and joy be with you all. If I had money and love, time to sit a while. There is a fair maid all in this town who sorely has my heart. I own.